Our loving Heavenly Father, as we gather together this morning in the name of your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, we need your help to worship. We need your Spirit to set us free to worship, to open our hearts, and indeed to help us to focus our minds upon you, upon your word. Help us to feed upon your word, to be strengthened by it this morning, and therefore through this coming week as well. We thank you that, Lord, you've brought us together. We thank you for the freedom we have to meet in this place. And we thank you for those who join with us. We're mindful of those away from us, and we pray your blessing, particularly those on holiday at this time, that they might be refreshed. For those ministering in your name, that they might be empowered and enabled. And that, Lord, you might be glorified in our lives and through our gathering together this morning. Forgive us our sins and our shortcomings, Lord. Forgive us that, Lord, we don't give you the praise you deserve. Our lives often don't reflect what you have done for us. But, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for grace which prevails, that abounds, even where there's been sin. So forgive us. Bless those to our right and left. Bless our fellowship together. And may your word, wherever it's proclaimed, through this land and indeed across the nations of the world, bring you glory this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I understand there was a victory last night. A big victory. But it was nothing like the big victory we are going to sing in this song. Jesus, we celebrate your victory. We revel in your love. We rejoice you've set us free. For that's what Calvary did. Our sins were paid for there in full at Calvary. And the victory over sin and death won by our Lord. Eternal life. That gift of eternal life made available to all who believe. So we can sing, Jesus, we celebrate your victory. And it picks up there in the first verse. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. I want to speak about freedom. Today is Independence Day for the Americans, a day of celebrating freedom. But I want to speak about freedom. And I was so blessed this morning. I have an app on my phone with a Bible. And occasionally I just dip into the daily reading that goes with that Bible app. And this morning was Galatians 5 verse 1 about being set free and enjoying the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's just a good confirmation for me in my quiet time this morning. Let me read to you from God's word, Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. If you've got the Church at Home notes, you'll know that it's on a different passage, but the theme is similar. And I just wanted to read Revelation chapter 1, and just verses 4 to 8. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the sevenfold Spirit before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's just take a few moments to pray. Be mindful of our world and the ongoing needs and concerns. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have just read of your greatness. Lord, of your glory, you are the Almighty. And so, Lord, as we bring what are seemingly insurmountable problems, well, certainly to us, to you, we know that you are greater than any problem, any situation. And so mindful of that, we bring ourselves and pour out our hearts to you for the needs of our world, for the needs of your people in this world. We heard on Friday night in our Zoom meeting of the situation there in northern India and Myanmar, Lord, with the COVID, many lives lost, pastors that have lost their lives. Lord, you know about this, but you know how desperate that situation is. And we cry to you, Lord, for your intervention, that others would be raised up to serve your people. But more than that, that your people then would be able to serve their community too. Help them, Lord. Watch over them. Lord, we pray for your will to be done in that area. Your kingdom, Lord, to be advanced, for it to come in the hearts and lives of those in great need. And while we might think of poor places of need, we think of the rich places that have need too, including our own nation. Lord, we have so much, yet without you we have nothing. And so we pray that you would, again, do new things amongst us. Revive your church, revive the work. Lord, even this week, sadly, part of the church agreeing to things that are not in your word, indeed spoken against. Lord, going with the tide of our world and its thoughts and thinking rather than your word. Have mercy upon us, we pray. Lord, keep us in line with your word. Help us, Lord, yes, to love our neighbours, but Lord, to be those who are of your word, the truth, speaking the truth in love. So help us, Lord, in these challenging days as church, we pray. Lord, for friends and family, for those in need, we pray again for your healing touch. Give grace as you see it's needed, and mercy and help. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your amazing, incredible love, an everlasting love without measure. May we all know something of it, and may we be able to share that with those we come in contact with. Lord, hear our prayers, our private prayers, our cries to you. Be our comfort, be our strength. For those who mourn, Lord, we pray for your comforts. Lord, for those, Lord, challenged with ill health, weakness of the body, bring strength, Lord, we pray. Bring a healing touch. For those needing wisdom, guide them, Lord. Lord, in all our deficiencies and all our inadequacies, be as you are, the Almighty God. We ask these things in Jesus' name, asking for your blessing on the word now as we hear it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, today is the 4th of July, Independence Day in the States. It's a celebration there of freedom. But what is freedom? How would you define freedom? Is what you see as freedom what I see as freedom? Some people say, well, it's when you can do what you like. But that's anarchy, isn't it? If everybody just does what they like, that can't be freedom. There must be some parameters somehow to freedom. Is freedom an elusive dream, just beyond our reach? I've been feeling that a little bit myself in my own circumstances recently. The kids are off our hands. That's good. Hooray, I hear you cheer. But now the parents need our help. And you get that little bit of a window in between, just a few years or months, and you think, but now there's something else. And there always will be something else. So freedom can't be just an easy life. Freedom can't just be getting away from it all. You there on your deck chair on a desert island. That's not freedom. I've mentioned before, I have a book at home of speeches, historical speeches made through the years. And with it being Independence Day, I was looking at this book and I read a few words from Abraham Lincoln in 1863. I'm not going to do an impression of him, but he was there at Gettysburg looking over the cemetery. We here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. a great speech, what a great, great ideal. And then I read, 100 years later, I have a dream. This will be the day when all God's children will be able to sing with a new meaning, my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. When we let freedom ring from every village, hamlet, state, city, we'll be able to speed up that day when all will sing, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Martin Luther King. Lincoln Memorial steps, 100 years later on, still longing. United States of America, a rather divided nation, I would say, at the moment. Possibilities for freedom and peace running side by side. But let's not just point the finger at others. Let's think of our own situation, and perhaps through this time of pandemic and the restrictions, we've had time to reflect. We've had some of our freedoms taken away from us. How has that felt? Have we felt, you know, well, that it's not fair? Or we've just come to that conclusion, well, it's the way it's got to be. I think it is true that many have discovered that they've taken their freedoms for granted until recently. We've been pulled up short a little bit to think about what we could do in the past and failed to do. Just always thought we'd always be able to do what we do. Freedom. What does the Bible have to say about freedom? I want to just go in three directions. I want to go right back to the beginning. In the beginning, there was freedom. And then I want to go to the very end of and see that there is freedom. And then I want to plop back into the middle where you and I are to see, in the meantime, what about freedom for us? You see, if you trace back freedom through the history of mankind, and we're helped through the Word of God, through the Bible, we've got the Scriptures, we can trace back God's people and the way that freedom, or lack of freedom, affected them. We can think about the Israelites in Egypt, and then we can see how they were set free. They were given freedom. They came out of that situation, only again then to go later into exile and to lose the freedom that they had been given. But if you really retrace and go back as far as you can, you go back to these words in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. You are free to eat from any tree. You know what happened next, but this was before sin was in the world, there was freedom. You are free. Now that's Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. But please note in chapter 2 and verse 15, the Lord God took the man, put him in the garden to work it and take care of it. So freedom is not about deck chairs. It's not about doing what you like. Freedom is actually doing things God's way. The way he has shown us, that's where we find our freedom. Before the fall, work and service were part of man's freedom. Not slavery, but in fulfilling all that God made man to be. But of course, sin is the problem. Sin entered our world, rebellion against God took place. And with sin came fear in chapter 3. And it's Adam and Eve restricting themselves, hiding away from God. Their freedom's gone. They're putting themselves in a place, trying to find a safe place, so they think. But of course, the Lord sees every place. He sees all things. From the open relationship that they'd had with God and previously enjoyed, now they're cowering away in fear. That's the effect of what sin has done. Freedom lost, fear has taken that place. And you read on, and there follows judgment for that sin. Enmity with Satan, an excess of pain, desire and toil, ultimately death. Sin leads to death. So from being free, man is banished from the garden with no access, no way back. So in the beginning there was freedom, but it was lost through sin. But what a God, what a merciful God we have. Not only in providing what he did for Adam in the garden before he was ejected from it, but of course ultimately in sending Jesus, his son, to make the way, to be the way, to restore relationship with God, to restore the freedom that Adam had known in the beginning. Wow, that's the beginning. In the end, I read to you from Revelation chapter 1, because in the end there will be freedom. There is freedom. In the reading that I read to you, it begins with a greeting, grace and peace to you. And that was a greeting that would suit both Jew and Gentile. Grace was the Gentile greeting, and shalom, peace, the Jewish greeting, put together in our Lord's words to his church. Something that we don't just know as a greeting, but can experience the grace and peace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's wonderful how in those just a few verses, we have a picture of the Godhead. We have the Trinity in perfect relationship, in total unity. The Father, the eternal, timeless God who is, who was, and who is to come. The Spirit, the sevenfold Spirit before his throne, where God sees all and rules over all perfectly. And then the Son. And from Jesus Christ, and what a description of our Saviour, the faithful witness, firstborn from the dead, ruler of the kings of the earth. You recognize him? This is Jesus. 3 years, humble obscurity, but this is God's Son. His life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, in those little phrases there, faithful witness, firstborn from the dead, ruler of the kings of the earth. And it's to Jesus I want you to look and see here. But the text goes on to say, who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood. Freed us from our sins by his blood. Now what does that mean? Well, yeah, that means obviously every believer who asks Jesus into their life knows a cleansing of sin, a new life, new start, new beginning, eternal life. But it's bigger than that. It's not just like it is for every individual to respond to, but it's actually cosmic. Freedom from sin's curse, from the pain that the world knows, from the toil that we all experience in it, and from death that each one of us will have to face. He has loved us, he loves us, and freed us from our sins. Freed us from the curse of sin and all that's linked with it. That once for all sacrifice for sin, making all the difference. But I don't know if you noticed that it went on then to say, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father forever. Freed us, yes, to serve his God and Father. You can't break that link. It's there in the beginning. The serving of God in the garden, the working for God in the garden, and eternity, again, serving his God and Father. A kingdom and priests. That echoes back to Exodus chapter 19, where God called a people to himself for that very purpose, Moses spoke from Mount Sinai and spoke to them about their role, a kingdom and priests. It's a title or titles that Peter picks up and refers to the church in 1 Peter chapter 2. Those who have access to God as his people because of his mercy. So from the beginning in the garden, there's freedom. In the end, there will be freedom like we can't even comprehend. No more sin, no more pain. The decay that we know, set free from all these things, the toil and the labour that we endure. But what of now? What about in the meantime? We've got the beginning, we've got the end, but where are we at the moment? Well, in the meantime, we can know freedom, but only through Jesus Christ. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. In knowing me, in knowing Jesus, we have the truth, and it sets us free. But what does that mean? What does that mean to be free in that way? I mean, a lot of the church, most of the church in the first century were all slaves. Let's not forget that. And they went back to work the day after they became Christians, and they were still slaves. So it's not talking about a revolution. It's not talking about some sort of, you know, global, you know, equality. It's not talking about that at all. They were free, free slaves. They had a different master now, of course, but they still had to work under their earthly masters alongside serving the living God. For the Christian, it means there is a freedom from sin and guilt. We have a Saviour to trust. When he said, "It is finished," he meant it. And if you believe what he says, you can know the impact of that on your own life here and now. The Christian message sometimes gets very complicated, but in effect, it is finished, he has risen, he is Lord. Those three phrases really sum it up. And freedom from sin and guilt are ours because he paid the price for our sin. It is finished. In Romans chapter 6, you can go home and read this for yourself. Paul gets quite deep into all of this. Talks about being set free from sin, but becoming a slave to righteousness. Swapping one master for another. But what a master. To serve the Lord. To serve the living God. The one who loves us. Cares for us. What a transfer from one to the other. And through that righteousness, he goes on to talk about reaping holiness and resulting in eternal life. That's the way this is going. If you're part of this, if you know and you're a slave to the righteousness of God through his word, it changes you and ultimately takes you on to eternal life. There's freedom from sin and guilt. As George Matheson wrote in his hymn, "Make me a captive, Lord, and then I shall be free." There's no contradiction there. Matheson's talking about this exchange from one to the other. Make me a captive. Keep me the way on your paths. Keep me the way you want me to develop and go and grow. As I surrender to Christ and live for his glory, for his kingdom. Well, many of you have done that this morning. You're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know freedom from sin and guilt. Sometimes you still make mistakes, you do things wrong. The old devil niggles in a little bit about that, but he can go. You are free from sin and guilt. It is finished, said Jesus. But there's more, though, for the Christian. There's a freedom from fear. And with that fear, worry. Because he is Lord. We have a Saviour to trust. It's finished. But we also have a Lord to trust. He is Lord. I sought the Lord and he delivered me from all my fears, says Psalm 34, verse 4. The key word is Lord. I sought the Lord. To seek anybody else, well, your fears are just round the corner, they'll be back. But when you seek the Lord, who is the Lord of all, the Lord of glory, the one who is sovereign Lord, in control of all things, you're on safer ground. Indeed, you're on very safe ground. Do not fear. You are more of more value than many sparrows. That would make a good fridge magnet, wouldn't it? You think? Anybody got that one? A good fridge magnet. Do not fear. You are more of more value than many sparrows. Three verses before, perhaps would not make a good fridge magnet. Fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hang on a minute. How did we move on to the nice little sparrows? But actually, it's all packed together in Jesus' teaching. Make sure we're right with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will take us under his wing. He will care for us. We are worth of greater value than many sparrows. He will provide. That passage assures us. We don't need to fear. We don't need to be worrying. If we've got the right things in place in relationship with our living God. Two major fears, if you think about it. I mean, there are millions of fears, don't get me wrong, but the fear of circumstance, the fear of the unknown, the fear of what might happen is a big one, isn't it? But Romans 8 tells me, we know that in all things, God works for good for those who love him. Now, sometimes it doesn't look like that's the case. I have to say that. Things happen, you wonder, what's going on? But God's word promises, assures us in all things God works for good for those who love him. He's got purposes for us within it all. The purpose might be for us to get to know him more, in dependence, clinging on to him perhaps. To realize we've been a bit stubborn, kicking and screaming, and to stop. There's the fear of circumstance. Obviously, much, much more has and can be said on these things. And there's the fear of man. What will people think? What will people say? Nobody likes to be different. Nobody likes to be thought odd. I think what's happening to the church at the moment, it seems to me, the world has changed, has gone on a different direction completely, leaving the church behind. And some of the church are actually saying, okay, we got it wrong, we're sorry, we want to come with you, we want to go on the ride with the world, please. We won't be doing that here. We're staying with the word of God. But that's what's happening in the world. There's a fear of man. And why is there a fear of man? Because there's no fear of God so much, even in the church. Fear of man will prove to be a snare. How true is this? But whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. You shall know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth will set you free. Freedom comes as we apply God's word to each of these fears. As we take his promise and say, this is what you've said. This is what it looks like. This is how perhaps I'm even feeling. But this is what you've said, and on these words I trust, because they're your words, and I trust you. Fear of circumstance, fear of man, fear of a million other things, but all can be brought into line with God's word, bringing a peace and a calm to our hearts. So there is freedom for the Christian, but it's certainly not freedom from the world and the system and some revolt and rebellion. There's not that. There's a freedom within. A freedom from sin and guilt. A freedom from fear and worry. Freedom from and freedom to. Do not divorce the two. Because if you this morning have freedom from sin and guilt and freedom in part perhaps from fear and worry, though we're still working on it. You have freedom to serve. He's our Saviour, He's our Lord. What a Saviour, what a Lord. And we're here to serve Him. In the Church at Home notes, he says, looking at the clock and beginning to panic, in the Church at Home notes, we have a verse from Peter and a verse from Paul that literally almost say word for word the same thing about freedom. That's interesting. Why is it interesting, Andrew? Because Paul is speaking to the Gentiles and Peter is speaking to the Jews. It's just a reminder that the message is for all of us who believe. And what does it say? Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Or as Paul put it, brothers, you're called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Both make the point. You are free. Live up to it. Live up to it in practice by living and using that freedom in your daily lives to serve the Lord. So when you're facing a circumstance that seems too much for you, as many of them are, turn to the Lord. Give it over to Him. It's not bigger than Him. If you're in a situation where you're fearful of someone or something, again, turn it to the Lord. And continue through that circumstance. Continue even with that difficult person to serve the Lord in the situation. For this is the life we've been called to. Remember the early church. They were slaves. Set free. Slaves of righteousness now. But still having to face persecutions and difficulties. Still having to go through all sorts of things. How did they survive? Only because they knew who their master was and they committed everything to him. So our freedom is not to be misused, but to be used to serve him. Freedom on Independence Day. Can I rename it for you, for us? Freedom on Dependence Day. You will find freedom when you depend upon the Lord wholeheartedly every day in the coming days, months, years. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. In all things, keep trusting and let the world around see the impact. You know, there's so many looking for freedom. You know, they go to a commune, you know, grow their hair long, they eat strange food, they, I don't know, climb mountains, do whatever, looking for freedom. But to find freedom, it can only be found in Christ. It's a freedom within, whatever the circumstance. And we live in a community that, well, longs for freedom but doesn't know where to look. So let us show them. Let us show them Jesus. Speak of him, but live your life committed to him, serving him because you belong to him. Amen. Let me finish with a prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you for making this possible through sending Jesus for us indeed to belong to him and him to us. Thank you that through that sacrifice for sin once for all at Calvary, it is finished. So sin and guilt have no place. Thank you too that he is Lord and that we shall see when he returns in his glory. But until that day, we thank you that he is seated at your right hand. And we thank you that all things are being brought under his feet. Help us to trust, even at times when it's difficult to trace what you might be doing in our lives. Build us up individually as a church to make a difference to those around us. And Lord, may we go from this place this morning knowing you and indeed freedom in our hearts. and freedom as we depend upon you every day of this coming week. Bless and keep us. Make your face shine upon us. Grant us now and always to know your peace and indeed a freedom of heart. In Jesus' name, amen.